This morning, if you want to turn to the book of James, chapter 5, the book of James, chapter 5. While you're turning there, I heard a story of a pastor who was teaching preaching on a Sunday, and at the end of that message, he had said, "Next week I have an important lesson for you, an important message, but I need you to go home this week and read through Mark chapter 17. And he said, "You have to do that for me. Go home and read Mark chapter 17, and then we'll discuss it next Sunday." And so next Sunday came, and he got up at the pulpit, and he said, "All right, by the raise of your hands, how many of you went home and read Mark chapter 17? And to his surprise, the majority of the congregation raised their hand to say that they read Mark chapter 17. And he said, "Well, if you read Mark chapter 17, you would realize that there was only 16 chapters in the book of Mark." And he said, "I'm going to go and continue to our message today on deceitful tongue or a lying tongue." And so today, I want to look at being truthful speakers. As believers in Jesus Christ, we have to speak the truth. There is no room for lying or fibbing or the white lies. As believers, we need to be telling the truth, the whole truth and nothing but the truth. And so in James chapter 5 and verse 12, "But above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by the earth, neither by any other oath, but let your yea be yea, and your nay, nay, lest ye fall into condemnation." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you before we dive into your word, Lord. I pray that you would again use me. They are not my words, but they are your words, Lord. I pray that you would speak through me, that we may leave here changed people, that we may not only be hearers of the word, but also doers, and go out and live our lives according to the will that you have for us to live. Lord, I thank you for the number of people that are here. I pray that you would bless them for coming. Lord, I pray for those that cannot be here, that they're in a hospital, they're traveling, or they're at work. I pray you'd be with them, help them to be able to come back to us in the near future. Again, I think of our lives. I pray that we would be truthful speakers in our lives, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know if you've ever been asked to go into court to testify, to be a witness. But usually in court, they will have you stand and put your hand on the Bible and ask you to... do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God? Now, I have never had that opportunity. I've, in the process with the school district that I am in, and I teach the alternative education youth, the at-risk youth in that school, and something happened the end of last year where I was threatened, and I had a number of students that got kicked out of school for threatening me outside of school, and there was charges that had to be pressed from the school, And in the interview, the police officer said, "Now, we may have you come to the school or come to the court and testify." And I'm thinking, oh, man, that's a big deal. But so they have you put your hand on the Bible, and they ask you to swear to tell the truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God, because they want to make sure that what you are saying is the truth. What you're saying is the truth. And there are some people out there, and I'm not really going to get into it, but some people will say that you shouldn't be putting your hand on the Bible and making an oath or swearing by it? Or is it wrong for the President of the United States to put his hand on the Bible and take the oath of office? And there are some people that will say they wouldn't do it, and some people would say, well, that would just affirm that they are telling the truth, that they're going to be putting truth behind their words. Whatever your answer is, and again, I'm not going to get into whether you should or you shouldn't, but whatever your answer is, the scriptures are clear in James chapter 5 and verse 12. And even it is repeated by Jesus, James is repeating Jesus. But in the book of Matthew chapter 5, if you would like to turn there, we have a couple verses that we'll read. Matthew chapter 5, and we'll start in verse 33. Again, if your Bibles have red letters, this is a red letters speaking of Jesus. In verse 33 of Matthew chapter 5, again, ye have heard that it has been said by them of old time, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, or for it is God's throne, nor by earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. Again, here is the key verse that James is repeating. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. The issue at hand here that we want to talk about today is truthful speech. Speaking the truth to not deceive. Whatever we say, we must be truthful as believers in Jesus Christ. But if you look around us today and in the culture in which we live, it is filled with lies. People deceiving one another, whether it's in the business world or the financial world, the corporate world. If you open up a newspaper or read an article online, there's deceit there. I think of, Volkswagen just last two years, had to pay a huge fine because they were tweaking their numbers for the emissions test. And so they were tweaking the numbers so they didn't have to get in trouble or have to fix the problem. And they're lying about it. Or businesses that have been fudging numbers to make them look more profitable, like Enron and other ones. Or even in the media. The media is out of control sometimes with what they say, or they'll put half-truths. I've seen media where they'll do an interview and they'll take bits and pieces of clips to make them sound like they're saying something that they're not even saying. And we need to be careful with not only what we believe, but when it comes to our turn to speak, we need to speak the truth. One of the things I find astonishing is that these businesses or the corporate worlds or the news media, whatever it is, that it's come out that they've been lying about it and they don't even feel bad. They don't feel guilty about what they have done. And I think a lot of these people, whether or not they're saved or not, but they don't believe in absolute truths. Because whatever is right to them is right to them, and you may not see it being right to you, and that's okay because it's not right to you. And so they kind of justify their thoughts and their actions. No absolutes. And there was a video we watched done by Ken Ham. I believe it was Ken Ham, about absolute truths. And the guy was going down talking to people and saying, well, is talking about absolute truths. And is there an absolute truth? And they would say no. And he would start asking them questions to make them really think about, do you really believe that there are no absolute truths? And as he would ask, and they would even ask, you know, what about rape? And the people would think, and they would start to stumble on their words, because technically they would want to say rape is wrong. We would all say that. But because they're trying to justify their thinking and their logic, and they're trying to come up with ways to get around that, there are absolute truths. The Bible is an absolute truth. We have those. With all of the lies and deceit around us, Christians are called to a higher standard. We are called by Jesus Christ to be truthful, to be truth speakers. You know, children lie to their parents, and we don't have to teach that. One of my youngest ones is starting to try to tell lies, and we'll catch him red-handed and say, hey, did you do that?
Nope.
While he's holding what he shouldn't be having. And I believe it was one of my children that was eating chocolate, and he had it all over his face, and asked him, did you eat chocolate?
No.
And he thinks he's getting away with it. And the evidence is all over his face. We don't have to teach children to lie because it comes naturally to them. We live in a world where children lie to their parents and husbands and wives will sometimes leave things out. One of the things that I struggled with, we drive an hour commute. My wife leaves the house. We're both teachers, and she travels 50 minutes this way, and I travel 50 minutes the other way. And so for a time there, we would be eating really, really healthy. I mean, we were trying to lose a little bit of weight, and we would eat healthy. And but on the way home from work, I'd pass like a Taco Bell and like a Wendy's and a Dairy Queen. And I would pass all these great places with good food. And so on occasion, I would like go to the drive-thru and get something to eat on the way home. And I would eat it really fast. And then I would eat supper because I couldn't eat supper because she would know something was up. And then I wasn't losing any weight. And she'd be like, "Why are you not losing any weight? Aren't you eating healthy?" And I'm like, "Yes, yes." And she'd get in my car and she'd see the Big Mac wrapper. And she would see like the ice cream bar stick like stuck underneath the seat. And she's like, "What is going on?" You know, I never did tell her that I was eating, but I wasn't telling the truth either. You know, we need to be careful with how we respond. People lie to their employers all the time. They call in sick on those days that they're not really sick. I've heard teachers say that all the time. "I'm saving my sick days for when I feel good." And they'll show up to work when they're sick. People lie to their government. During tax time, you should see some of the things that people make up on their taxes so that they don't have to pay more. You see, our culture is filled with lies, with deceit. And it seems that we have a society that is based on lying. And I think we can all agree by looking around the society in which we live, the state of it is in disarray. It's disappointing. But with every lie, get this, with every lie and broken promise, there is a growing distrust among people. Have you ever been lied to? Have you ever been lied to by somebody that you thought was really close, that you thought, "Man, they would never lie to me before"? That relationship is hurt. Are you going to trust them like you did before? Probably not. That relationship is broken. And it's going to take time, and it's going to take patience to repair that relationship. I had a growing up, some teens in my youth group, their parents got a divorce. It was found out that one of them had an affair. And it was so heartbreaking that the deceit and the lying was so much. They ended up getting a divorce because that relationship was broken so much. We need to be careful with how we live our lives. We need to be careful that in everything that comes out of our mouth is truth. Because it's a standard that God wants us to have. Now, to give you a little bit of background on what's going on in this time that these verses were written, the Jewish people were taking vows all the time. They were giving vows and taking vows of all the time. They were swearing by the Lord. They were swearing by Jerusalem. They were swearing by the altar. They had all these oaths and swears that they could take so that people would know that they're telling the truth. And James chapter 5, verse 12 says, "But ye above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath." The Jews commonly used oaths. And not only did they commonly use them, but they abused them. They abused the oaths that were taken. So, to give you an example, if somebody had taken an oath with the Lord's name, then that was an oath that had to be trustworthy. That was a serious oath, and you couldn't break it. If you said that oath, you would have to keep that. You would have to speak the truth. However, if the Jewish people were to swear or take an oath by the city Jerusalem, or the temple, or the head, or the altar, then you could break that oath. You see, the Jews would know how to use that. They would twist it, and they would manipulate it, so that while they were giving an oath, and they said, I swear to the city of Jerusalem. Well, if you're saying that, the people that were hearing that were thinking, well, if you're swearing to Jerusalem, we both know that you can break that oath. What good is it? But that's what they would do. They would take oaths flippantly, if you would. In Matthew chapter 23, Matthew chapter 23 and verse 16, we learn a little more about this. So chapter 23 of Matthew, we'll start in verse 16. Again, this is red letter. Jesus is speaking. It says, "Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing. But whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor." So they were saying that if you were to swear by the temple itself, the building, that means nothing. It doesn't mean anything. That oath could be broken. However, if you swear by the gold of the temple, then you're a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctify the gold? Christ here is saying, well, what's more important, the temple itself or the gold that's in the temple? Of course, the temple. "And whosoever shall swear by the altar, it is nothing. But whosoever sweareth by the gift that is upon it, he is guilty." Again, so they could swear on the altar and it would mean nothing. But if they were to swear by the gift or the sacrifice that was on the altar, then you are guilty. You would have to speak the truth. "Ye fools and blind, for whether it is greater, the gift or the altar that sanctify the gift? Whosoever therefore shall swear by the altar sweareth by it and by all the things thereon. And whoso shall swear by the temple sweareth by it and by him that dwelleth therein. And he that shall swear by heaven swear by the throne of God and by him that sitteth thereon." Again, Jesus is speaking and challenging the people at that time, challenging the Jews about the common problem that was in society: lying and deceitfulness. And they would pick their words carefully. When they were giving a note, they would pick their words carefully because they knew that if they did it the right way, they didn't have to keep it. And they were being deceitful in their ways. Ladies and gentlemen, we need to be truthful in what we say. We need to speak the truth. We need to let your yeas be yeas and your nays be nays. We need to apply that to every aspect of our life, our relationships. If you want a good, healthy relationship, whether it's marriage or parents and children or neighbors, mothers and fathers, husbands and wives, whatever it is, if you want to have a healthy relationship, you need to be truthful. You need to speak the truth. If a relationship has lies and deceitfulness, it is not a healthy relationship. And it will find out that the truth will come to light sooner or later. If you want to have a great job and a good relationship to your employers, there needs to be truth there. I remember growing up, I did child evangelism fellowship. We would do backyard Bible clubs. And I remember that one time we had a club that was during the week of Vacation Bible School. And if you know me in Vacation Bible School is the best week of the year. It's a lot of work, but man, it is great to see the young people coming and learning about God. And that was the same way back then because I was in part of the skits and part of the paint setting and all that stuff. And it was the week of Vacation Bible School. And we had a club. We had a club that was like 25 minutes away, and I only had, it was like 15 minutes until the club was supposed to start, and my friend and I decided to stop at Walmart to get something for Vacation Bible School. But we didn't have any time. We were going to be late anyway, and so we decided that we were going to go, and I think he had gotten a call to ask where we were at, and we lied about where we were at. And so as we're leaving Walmart, out of the door, in comes our boss, who was just lied to. And we're holding our bags, and we felt really bad. You know, deceit always finds a way to poke its head out, and the truth is revealed. If you're in school today, or starting soon, you need to be truthful to your teachers. And that's tough sometimes. Speaking the truth is tough sometimes, especially when you didn't do the work. We've all been there. where you didn't have time to do your work or you had other things to do and not do your homework, and the teacher asked where your homework's at?
Well, the dog ate it.
You've all heard that, right? Or now it's like, I couldn't turn on the computer because the power was out. Whatever the case may be, and we've all been tempted there. I know with my master's class, there's times where I'm like, I'm so busy with other things, I don't have time to do it. Maybe I can just type an email. It's so much easier to be deceitful on email, right? Instead of face-to-face. You know what? We need to be truthful. We need to speak the truth. Some principles that we can learn from here. The first one is truthfulness needs to be worked on by all believers. Truthfulness needs to be worked on by all believers. Once we get saved, a switch doesn't automatically pop on and now we only speak truth. It doesn't happen. We have that old nature. And we still have that heart's desire to sometimes fib or to not tell the whole truth. And it's a challenge, but it needs to be worked on. We need to have truthful speech is the foundation for every relationship. Can you imagine starting a relationship with your husband or your wife that's been built on lies? I'm sure it happens where people say that they have different jobs or they don't tell everything about their past. And so the relationship is built on lies. Is that going to last? It'd be hard. It would be hard. It'd be a rocky finish. But the truthfulness is a foundation that needs to happen in every relationship built on truth. Here in James chapter 5, I think James is trying to warn people because he says, above all things, my brethren, swear not, neither by heaven, neither by earth, neither by any other oath. I think James is trying to tell the people, the Jews, to stop with this oath taking. You're taking it so far, and you're not even doing it properly. You're taking oaths and then breaking them. And I think James here is trying to tell them to stop doing that. It's foolishness. Being truthful needs to be the utmost importance to you. Let me ask you here this morning, is it to the utmost importance to you right now, in your life right now? Is being truthful important to you? I hope it is. But again, it needs to be worked on. It needs to be a conscious effort every morning that you wake up and say, today I'm going to speak the truth. Because we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus Christ to help us in all aspects of our life. Those devotions in the morning or the times we do devotions, we need to pray and ask the Lord that we speak the truth to those we meet. Like I said, sometimes telling the truth hurts. Sometimes telling the truth isn't easy. You might lose friends. Some of the toughest conversations I've ever had with people is talking about religion and super, super nice people, friends of mine, and they would say, I don't believe that you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior to go to heaven. And in fact, there was another teacher at Cedar Crest. And she says, I believe that if I'm good enough, I will get to heaven that way. Do you believe the same way? Well, the words out of my mouth next might offend her. But I said, no, that's not right. She needs to hear the truth. That being good enough does not get you to heaven. Faith in Jesus Christ will. Being truthful needs to be the utmost importance to you. I hope and pray that you look into your own life and think to yourself, is that important to me? And if so, we need to work on it. Number two, bending the truth comes naturally to sinners. Bending the truth, those white lies, those fibs, those times you go out to the drive-thru and don't tell anybody. Need to be careful. We as people have a constant tendency to tweak or shift the truth to protect ourselves. We don't want ourselves to look bad, and so sometimes we tweak that or to make ourselves look better. Romans chapter 3, verse 13. Book of Romans chapter 3 and verse 13 says, "Their throat is an open sepulcher. With tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips." We all do that. We're all sinners. None of us are perfect, even though we are saved. None of us are perfect. And we still have deceit on our lips. We've been the truth. Whether it's the old fishing story, we've all been there, where we go fishing and the fish that we catch seems to grow by every person that we tell. Have you ever known anybody that has lied so much that they begin to believe their own lies? Where no longer, they don't even remember, they don't ever remember the fish being this small. Every time that they tell that story, it's always getting bigger and bigger, and they always forget, they tend to forget what the truth is. Again, it comes naturally. I told you that we don't have to teach our kids to lie. They do it naturally. I never told my kids and sat them down and says, "Okay, if you want to get away with something, this is what you need to do." No, they do it on their own. That nature, that sin nature. But what do we need to do? We need to sit down with them and tell them how to tell the truth. We need to sit down with the children, our kids, grandkids, nieces, nephews, and tell them what it means to be truthful and what we need to do. How to be truthful. God wants us to speak and live the truth all the time. Not just on Sundays or Wednesdays, but all the time. Adding or diminishing from the truth is sin, is wrong. Sometimes we have to ask ourselves, are we ourselves, are we truth seekers? Are we truth speakers? If you can think over the last week, can you think of a lie or a deceit that you told somebody? Whether it was at work, school, at the house. My kids will always say, like they'll ask for something, like, and I'll be like, "Well, tomorrow, maybe tomorrow." "Oh, well, he says tomorrow, it's not going to happen." And that's what I keep on saying. "Well, we'll do it tomorrow." He says that the last week. He's not going to do it. You know, people can sometimes tell them when we're lying. They know. We need to be people of truth, especially as believers. In this world in which we live, people are looking at us and they are judging us. They are judging us and they are waiting for us to slip up. They're waiting for us to catch us in a lie so that they can diminish what we believe. And I think now more than ever, we need to be out there telling the truth. What the Bible says, that the world is chaotic. If you've turned on the news or read the news at any point in the last few months, years, it's getting bad. The country is divided. And we as believers need to be speaking the truth. And all the things that, you know, talking about end times and, you know, the Bible says that in the end times there will be wars and rumors of wars. You can't turn on the television right now without hearing a rumor of a war. Whether it's with North Korea, Russia, China, a civil war. If we know Jesus Christ is our Savior, we need to be out there telling them the truth. That Jesus is coming back. And you need to be ready. We need to be people of truth. The third principle kind of goes along with the second one, but Christians don't automatically produce the truth. Christians don't automatically produce the truth. In Ephesians chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15. "But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ." In verse 25, Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. And 1 Peter 3, chapter 3, verse 10 says, for he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. You see, James here is talking to believers. But above all things, my brethren, believers in Jesus Christ, we need to be careful. We need to make sure that truth comes from our lips. It's one of those things where you hear people all the time, and I've heard Christians say it, I swear on, or I swear to, and put the Lord's name in vain there. I swear to whatever. And they say it over and over again. Or you hear, Scout's honor. And I was never a scout, a Boy Scout. It's been so long since I've actually read the code there, or the Scout's honor. But you know what? They say that all the time to try to prove to other people that they are telling the truth. I swear to. Trust me. We need to be careful. We should be telling the truth all the time. We shouldn't even have to say that, because the words that come out of our mouth, they should say, okay, he's a Christian. He should be telling the truth. We know him. We shouldn't have to be putting oaths or swearing on anything or a stack of Bibles. I'm sure you've heard them. But we need to, first of all, make sure we use the Lord's name with reverence and not flippantly use it to make a point that we're telling the truth. The book of Matthew chapter 26 talks about Jesus here. The book of Matthew chapter 26 in 63, says, but Jesus held his peace, and the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God, thou shalt tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereby after ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the power and coming into the clouds of heaven. Right here, so Jesus is before the court, and he was supposed to be under oath here. They said he was under oath. And they're under oath, and they're asking him, who you are? Are you the Son of God? And under oath, Jesus says, I am. I am the Son of God. We need to be careful with what we say. And the Bible doesn't say necessarily to not to take oaths, but to be careful if you're taking an oath. We take an oath, or we swear, when my wife and I got married, we took an oath under God that we would remain together, be faithful to each other. That's something that we need to take seriously. We've been married now 11 years. And we need to remain faithful. People take those oaths all the time in marriage, and they don't. They treat it as if it was just a rash decision, and they don't remain faithful. They don't stay together. We need to be careful of trivial oaths. In the Bible, we have drunken Herod. Drunken Herod. He was drunk, and he was trying to impress another young lady. I believe she was a dancer of some sort, and so he was drunk, and he made an oath, I will give you half the kingdom, whatever you want, I will give you. And she didn't want half the kingdom. What she want? She wanted John the Baptist's head. And because he made the oath, John the Baptist was beheaded. Or Jephthah, he came home from battle, from war, and he told the Lord, if you give me a victory in battle, I will sacrifice the first thing that comes and greets me. And if you know the story, the first person that came to greet him was his own daughter, his only daughter. And he was in turmoil because he made a rash oath, a trivial oath, or he swore by something. and it cost her her life, or at least the cost her the chance of a normal life. Growing up, we would hear all the time that when you would tell them something that you wanted them to know, you would say, "Cross my heart and hope to die." You remember that? When he said that, that means you were serious. Like whatever you were saying was right on. But then we also had, I had my fingers crossed, right? So I said all of that, but my fingers are crossed, which means it's void. You know, the oath that I just took doesn't mean anything. We need to be careful. Have you ever made the promise or the oath that we were going to read through the Bible in a year? Or that we were going to come to Wednesday night servant prayer meetings? And we told God, you know what, I'm going to do this. This is something I need to do. I'm going to start doing this, Lord. I promise. We need to be careful with what we promise God. Because in the end of that verse, in the end of James, chapter 5, verse 12 says, "Lest ye fall into condemnation." We need to be careful with what we do. God will judge us for those oaths. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 15. "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 32. "But when ye are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world." Again, we just need to be careful with what we say, with the promises that we make, especially the promises we make to God. We need to be careful. As you're sitting here today, and you're thinking about the life, and myself as well, growing up, I was able to deceive many people, and it came with a price, because kind of like the boy who cried wolf, I was able to tell somebody straight to their face and not give any signs that I was lying. It drove my mom nuts. She would ask me something and I would look right in her eyes and I would say, absolutely. And without a shadow of a doubt, she would believe me with whatever I said. But you know what? She started finding out that I was lying and I wasn't telling the truth. And because I did it so well, from then on, anything I said to her, she couldn't believe. You know, someone's trust is very important. And you really don't understand how important trust is until you don't have it. And when you lose someone's trust, it's hard to get it back. Working in the grocery store at Giant, I worked there for a number of years, and they had a poster at the break room. And it said something to the effect of that it takes a long time, it takes many, many visits for someone or a customer to become a patron or to become loyal. And it takes one bad experience for them to find another place to go. And that's the same way with our trust. It takes a long time for us to gain our trust for somebody. These students that I have, they don't trust anybody. They come from single family homes or they've been in the foster care. And so they don't trust anybody. And it takes me a long time. Many times, a marking period, a semester, to get to talk to them every day till they start to trust me. But it only takes one time or one lie or one conversation behind their back that will ruin that. We should work hard at keeping the trust of those around us. And I say that as believers, we should automatically want that. We should automatically tell the truth, but because of our old nature, so let me ask you in closing, in the next minute or so, is telling the truth the utmost important to you? Are you working on it every day? And I say working on it, getting before God and telling Him and asking Him to help you in prayer. something that we're working on. I hope so. And that goes for me too. That goes for me as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day.